Radio Real. Real radio, your reality. Welcome to a behind-the-scenes look at the quest for the Golden Prim. This is Gabrielle Real. Please join me to discover the mysteries of the making of the webcomic as I interview the creators, writers, producers, and cast of the quest for the Golden Prim. The time for secrets is at an end.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing? This is Gabrielle Real, and I am broadcasting live on Radio Real's event stream. It is time for the second Quest for the Golden Prim podcast. And I'm settled in here very comfortably at the Green Fairy in Winterfell Absinthe. And I'm going to be talking with several of the people who have worked on or been a part of the Quest for the Golden Prim project. And before we get into any details about what's going on with the storyline or any interviewing, I'd like to introduce you all to the guests that I have on today's podcast. Coming back for more torture is PJ Trenton.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Welcome back. I'm surprised that you agreed.
Well, it wasn't too bad the last time.
And with us, we have two of the stars of the quest, stars of the actual story itself. We have Aisling Sinclair. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for joining us. And we have Blackhawk Sikorsky. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Before we get going, I'd like if you could tell us just a little bit about yourselves and what you do in Second Life, just in general, and like when you started in Second Life, and also who do you play in the quest?
Well, I guess I'll start. I play Annabella Scott, who is the heroine. She's the ingenue, and she's... Her character is developing. If anyone wants details about her character, we can supply those. We all have trading cards, for example, that'll give some details about the character. But I am Aisling Sinclair. I started 3 years ago, come Monday. So I'll be having a rest day. Thank you. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Three years.
Oh my gosh.
But I work with Safia on Prim Perfect and Designing Worlds. I'm the advertising and client services manager, client relations manager, rather. And I love doing that. And I love working with Safia. And when she brought this up, I just thought it would be way too much fun. So.
And Blackhawk, what about you?
Well, I'm also 3 years old, just having passed my rest day on the 6th.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you.
October rest day stuff. Wow.
I know. Yeah. In 3 years. It's an interesting part of Second Life. I think I've played... I don't actually do work. I get paid for my sarcastic skills and entertaining people, and I think that's basically it. Mm-hmm. And enjoy Second Life for exactly what it is, a place of exploration and learning.
Excellent. Well, this is cool. We're all these quote-unquote oldies hanging around here.
I know.
Yeah. I'm almost three.
Yeah, and I turned three in April, so.
Yay!
We're the... three-year-old podcast this time around.
Nice. Do we get a reward?
I'll have to think of something.
We get three candles on our on tops of our heads.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys. I really appreciate having you here to explain a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff about the quest. One of the things that I wanted to do and that I actually ended up doing for today's show is I put together some summaries to explain what's gone on up to this point in the quest, and I'm going to play those. They're actually in the form of audio clips, and this way it can kind of bring our audience back up to speed as to what's happening with the plot in the Golden Prim. I do want to mention one thing that PJ pointed out to me very, very kindly, that I completely messed up the actual chapters. Everything that I discussed today, I've been calling chapter 1 and chapter 2, when in reality, they are chapter 3 and chapter 4. The first chapter, which I was kind of looking at as a prelude, or I'm sorry, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ugh.
It's hard. It was hard to see that as an actual episode because it was very much a prelude.
It was like a prelude.
That's right.
So it got me too.
Can you pass me your flask, PJ, please?
There we go.
Yes. The recordings refer to chapter 2 and chapter 3. So sorry about that. Let's go ahead and I'm going to switch over to the audio clip and let you know what happened on the quest in chapter 1.
Hey, this is Gabby, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on what has occurred in the quest for the Golden Prim thus far. In the first chapter, we are introduced to the dashing and heroic Rafe Montcalm, pilot of the Royal Caledonian Air Force, and his trusty sidekick, Crotty. Our hero is surprised to receive a letter from the Library Militant. Rafe's letter is a request for a meeting with the director of the Caledon Library, Sir J.J. Drinkwater. Rafe's stuffy wing commander allows him to take a leave of absence to meet with Sir J.J. The action moves to a quiet home in Caledon K, where we meet the precocious young ingenue, Nan, her faithful beagle Lola, and her strict teacher, Miss Prim. Lola brings a letter to Nan. A letter with a request for a meeting with the director of the Caledon Library, Sir J.J. Drinkwater. This sounds familiar. However, unbeknownst to Nan, Lola, and Miss Prim, an airship floats above Nan's home, and two mysterious figures are watching them. One of the figures is pleased and says that they can proceed with their plans. And thus ends Chapter 1.
Okay. That is a bit of a summary of what happened in that chapter 1/chapter 2, actually. Gave us an introduction to some of our characters, some of the main characters, and one of the active protagonists is with us. We have our Nan.
Yes.
I wanted to ask
you. We had Nan's typist.
Yep. That's true. Nan has a lovely, lovely English accent, so.
Oh my gosh, I can't tell you. Well, you know, of course, I record this with Safia and with Elric Merlin, and who are both Brits, and I tell them, you have no idea how intimidated I feel trying to do a British accent with you guys.
Well, it's fabulous.
They were very kind not to giggle at me, I have to say, so. And were very helpful, actually, so. Good.
Why did you decide to do this? What made you decide to jump into this project?
Oh, well, I just thought it was a wonderful idea. I really like, I have a background in drama and theater and film and all of that kind of thing. So I'm really very tuned into media. And I'm not a performer, but I saw this as a place where I could sort of dip my toe into that sort of thing, and I thought it would be just a great deal of fun, and it has turned out to be a great deal of fun, and it's going to even more. I think one of the most appealing things is that we were able, with the writer's assistance, sort of to develop our own characters. We could, you know, put our imagination caps on and work up a backstory for ourselves, and that was a great deal of fun, and we can live sort of a virtual life as our character through Plurk and our blogs and all of that sort of thing, so it can be as involving as we like. It really is a great deal of fun. It's a bit of work, but joyous work.
Yeah, I love the way each character is allowed to get creative on their own and develop a bit more of their character, which is, it's really more true to Second Life and to the way media is handled today anyway. We're not just getting, you know, the story from one angle. It's actually coming at us from several angles, and I'm coming at it from the point of a reader, and I can engage with more depth with Nan through your blog if I'd like to. I really, really love that concept. And speaking of playing Nan, how did you get that part? Did you want to be the ingenue? Did you know that you were going to be a main character, or did Safia just spring that on you?
Well, to be honest, and I haven't really told Safia this, so I guess I'm confessing now, I did want it very much, and I did sort of a little, not really an audition, but sort of an audition. There was an affair in New Babbage at the Lotus, and it was a nice party, a dance. I believe it was another launch for the Primgraph, another launch party.
That's
such
right.
as we'll have this
that.
Afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I thought, well, what I might do is dress my own character, Aisling, as ingenue as I possibly could. I wore this really lovely white dress and blonde hair and you know, big blue eyes. And,
I just
stood there and looked charming, you know, so...
You did that too?
I did, but I know it was no PJ did, but I didn't get a part, so
Okay.
I guess my ingenue isn't as good as your ingenue.
The white dress didn't cut
it. It was quite awkward when you showed up that way.
It must have been the blonde hair, PJ. I mean, really? I think it must have been that. So anyway, and then of course applied like everyone else and took some snaps of the look that I had in mind for Nan. And I guess it all worked. So I was delighted. Still am.
Cool. Now going to our cross-dresser, PJ.
I missed you in your white gown, PJ.
Mr. Visual Designer, I really was looking quite closely at the visuals in what I'm calling Chapter 1, the chapter in which we're introduced to Rafe and to Nan, and I can see there were a lot of different scenes that you had to photograph. Like, from the beginning, you had the frozen tinies in Tanglewood, which was kind of its own scene. Then you had another scene of Rafe rescuing Crotty. Then you had the scene where Rafe gets his letter. Then you have the scene where Nan gets her letter. And as I was counting up all those scenes and looking at all, you know, my I guess project planner or event planner brain started working and thinking, oh my gosh, they had to like set every single one of these scenes. How long did they all take, just roughly? I mean, how much time have you spent shooting these scenes?
Quite a bit of time, actually. The frozen tinies scene took me way longer than I had ever expected, and I thought perhaps that this is what taught me how to be a little more realistic in the scheduling of our shoots. It was a lot of fun, and I know everybody had a lot of fun, but to try to corral 25 excitable tinies. Tinies, yes.
Oh, how fun.
We had to bribe them with cake. So if you ever have a crowd of tinies that I suggest you call up Safi and ask her to bring over the cakes, and all will be good.
I hear that Safi doesn't go anywhere without cake.
Well, I can understand why. yes. So the scenes, they take, they could take an hour. They could take an hour and a half. We often go back. We kind of build a few things as we go along too. So that obviously takes some time, and I get some ideas while we're actually on a shoot for things that I want to try, maybe a little differently than I had gone in thinking of. So we sometimes have to shift, you know, where we're going to shoot something or move some things around. So the shoots do take a fair bit of time. The nice thing is that, you know, everybody has a chance to kind of socialize and get to know each other, and I think they're all having a great time doing that.
Yeah, I was just imagining, especially with the tinies, but just when any of the cast is there, kind of waiting in the wings to start rolling, so to speak, some of your cast are quite, shall we say, precocious and humorous on their own.
Absolutely.
You probably have quite the challenge wrangling them into the shot.
I have to try to keep up.
Okay. What I'd like to do now is play the audio clip talking about the next chapter. And this is the chapter that just came out in the latest edition of the Primgraph. The cool thing about this one is that fabulous Elric Merlin did get together with the cast members and do some audio recordings of a couple of the scenes. So you'll have me kind of functioning as the, oh, I don't know, the narrator, and you'll get a chance to hear from our Nan and from Minnie and from a couple other characters. So let me go ahead and kick off the summary of the latest chapter that we just had come out recently. Chapter 2 was in the October issue of the Primgraph, so go pick one up if you have not done so yet. It opens on a scene in a park in Caledon, Rothesay, and we see Nan walking with her dear friend Minnie Rowbottom. Nan has told Minnie about her unexpected letter from Sir J.J. Drinkwater and his request for a meeting.
Oh, how exciting! But why does the librarian want to see you?
I don't know. Sir J.J. hasn't written to me since my parents died. Well, I see his signature on overdue book notices.
But that doesn't count. It has been very strange, what with darling Miss Hawksmoor disappearing.
Has there been any news, Minnie?
No. Perhaps you just got tired of being my governess. What did your Miss Stick say about the letter?
Shh. She said I would have to hear the whole story from the librarian. Tonight.
The next scene shows a cub reporter sitting at her desk.
It's not all fun being a cub reporter on the Primgraph.
Emily?
Yes, Miss Wittershins?
I'm just off to New Babbage to report on the celebrations to mark the end of the latest revolution. But I'd like you to cover a story here. The library are planning a new system of fines for overdue books.
Rose-growing competitions, library fines. Why do I never get exciting stories to cover?
But little did Emily Lockhart, cub reporter, know.
The action returns to Nan and Miss Prim, who are now walking in Caledon, Victoria City, on their way to the Whitehorn Memorial Library for Nan's meeting with Sir J.J., when suddenly they are approached by a disreputable band of four, two women dressed in pirate garb and two men who are clearly thugs. When Nan asks what they want, one of the lady pirates says that they want her. Pandemonium ensues. One lady pirate and one thug hold off Miss Prim while the remaining two set upon Nan. The commotion draws two passers-by, Rafe Montcalm and Crotty, who are on their way to the meeting at the Whitehorn. Rafe and Crotty leap into the fray to save Miss Prim, Nan, and Lola, as does a third defender, a mysterious gentleman who seemed to appear out of nowhere. The rescuers successfully hold off the pirates and thugs, who run away. The gallant stranger rescues Nan, and Montcalm recognizes him. The stranger is someone who has been banished from Caledon, and it means his death if he is caught there. The rescuers and the rescued move to safety in the Whitehorn Library, where a man and woman await them. The woman
is Cub reporter Emily Lockhart.
And there you are, bringing you guys up to speed on where the story for the quest is at this point in time. This last chapter was action-packed. Lots of stuff. All sorts of fight scenes and fabulous, fabulous things. And it was in this chapter that Blackhawk's character came into the story, which sounds, I think he's going to have a very exciting part.
And so that sounds ominous.
My question to you, why did you decide to offer to be a part of this?
Well, I almost feel like I should start out with a mwahaha. basically, I'm a bibliophile. I read books voraciously, but I'm not as highbrow as I'm making myself seem. Also a Renaissance nerd and a huge fan of comic books. Actually, having dressed as a Wolverine earlier today for work in real life.
I love it.
So when I saw the information come out about the quest for the Golden Prim, I instantly thought that would be a really cool project. It piqued my interest, and when I saw the casting couch, the casting call, I wrote down my information, and like everyone else, I probably rewrote it like 5 or 6 more times and sent it in, and here I am. And I kind of like the way the character is starting to develop.
Yeah, I have to say that was as a reader, that was kind of a bit of a surprise, because we've been introduced to the hero Rafe and to the heroine Nan, and so you're thinking in this big fight scene that this is when Rafe and Nan are going to meet, he'll rescue her. Oh no. We get Mystery Man who steps right in and picks her up off the ground instead. So I thought, ooh, nice little twist there. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, and as well as I am, the characters in this story are, multidimensional, and as you're starting to see, there's always going to be a little twist here and there, and as people start following along with the comic, they'll be able to, be pulled in more and more and want to see, where it might go.
Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but one of the things that you guys are incorporating into your characters are blogs, and I know some of them have set up Twitter accounts. And have you guys both done this already? Are your blogs active? Have you been writing in them at all?
I have set up a blog, and I am drafting my first post. I haven't done it as soon as I ought to have, but actually, that's sort of working out for me now, because I can sort of write it from a different angle, and that's turning out to be a lot of fun for me. So I will have something up within the week, I promise.
Are you doing Twitter too, or are you just doing blog?
Gosh, I can't remember if I've set up Twitter. I know I've set up Plurk, so Nan does Plurk. She gets her assignments from Miss Prim, her governess.
Oh, that's great.
Via Plurk sometimes. So, believe it or not, there is Plurk in Caledon.
And I'm sure that Miss Prim's assignments are just, so incredibly fascinating and detailed.
Yes, they are. And Nan doesn't understand them at all. She has no idea why she is studying things like this. So I think that is yet to be revealed to her and all the rest of the world as well. We'll have to see what the writers come up with. It's all very exciting.
I'm going to have to follow Miss Prim and Nan now on Plurk. I didn't know that you guys were out there. So I'm going to have to start following.
Mm-hmm.
And have you set anything up yet, Blackhawk? I feel bad, like we're putting you on the spot, Have you met your deadline yet?
Well, I just also recently leveled up on my procrastination, and that's also one of the tasks for me is to start my blog. I do have a Facebook account, or Morty does, mm-hmm. And also Plurking as well. So, yeah, I I think part of the difficulty in wanting to start a blog, or some of the other characters I've talked to may have a hard time, is that we really want this to work out well. And mm-hmm. so I think we do a lot of rewriting and wanting to make it as interesting, you know, just from our own standpoint as well as from the story standpoint.
That's very true. I mean, and I'm that way as a writer anyway. I edit as I go. So, you know, it can take me a long time to get the first paragraph out. But at least by the time I'm finished, it's done. You know, I mean, it doesn't need a rewrite. It's gone through that process already. So,
yeah.
And, well, I'm speaking as a reader. The blogs are nice, but, you know, they're kind of bonus, too. So, it's important that you guys post in them, but I don't think you guys should be killing yourselves trying to post something from your character every single day.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to hear you say that.
But
hopefully Safia didn't lose the stream right at that right moment.
I know.
That's right.
You can overload, you know, on blogs and on Plurk and on Twitter, and at least, you know, everyone uses the tools in a different way. I like I'm fairly I guess task based for the most part in how we use them, but that's because Radio Reel sends out event announcements and things. But I like the creativity of seeing, you know, Plurks here and there from you guys. But if you were like Plurking, like, you know, every minute, I'd probably unfollow you.
Yes. I think so too. And I think you would probably want to worry about us if we started doing that, because I mean we're in Second Life, and that's one life, and now we've got yet another as a character. So, you know, we can only get rid of RL so much. And
yeah. Well, now I'm going to just kind of toss it a very general question to both of you guys, actually all of you, PJ too. Any interesting tidbits or highly humorous stories, or, you know, any gossip or drama that you might want to reveal while we're all here today?
Well, I mean, this last episode was really the fulfillment of, well, the beginning of the fulfillment of one of Nan's dreams. She's led a very quiet life. She's a very properly brought up Caledonian young lady, and she's been dreaming of a young man, handsome man, picking her up, sweeping her off. That would be you at the moment. Yes.
Bonus.
I don't know if you caught the little grin on Nan's face in that panel, but she was quite pleased. And I think she's going to continue to be pleased. I mean, she this definitely puts a different complexion on being mugged for her.
Well, at first when you said she's a proper young Caledonian lady, I thought, oh, good heavens.
Yeah, she's not. She's a minx.
The definition of a proper young Caledonian lady can be kind of nebulous sometimes.
She's a bit of a minx, yes. That's
yeah, I did see a bit of ankle.
That's right.
And then, you know, without mentioning any names, you know, during that last photo shoot, I saw several avatars that were, you know, everyone's very helpful in trying to pull out poses and set up the shots as like PJ wants them. But, you know, there's a couple of avatars there that they pulled out, you know, their pose balls, and they had to hurry and take them back in because they were, you know, of adult nature.
Oops. That wasn't me, I have to say.
Oh, I said, well, I wasn't mentioning little names.
That's the wrong pose.
Thing too, I know. I have to say that I have sort of become the de facto props mistress, because I have an inventory that is of an obscene size. It really is. It just, I never seem to manage to have enough time to go through it and toss things that I don't need. But I'll tell you, you know, all this stuff that I've tucked into my inventory saying I'm going to need this one day, well, those are the kinds of things I'm bringing out now because we need them one day. So
said that last time, too.
Yeah. You know, so that's
when you,
I feel vindicated.
When you hoard all sorts of crazy different things in Second Life, depending on what you do in Second Life, and in the fact, you know, the fact is you guys are doing something really creative here. Yes, you know, there is a need for a rag and a bottle of chloroform.
That's right. Now, we haven't had the need for the giant flying hot dog yet, but I'm looking forward to that day.
Oh, good.
Me too.
Yeah. Every proper young Caledonian lady has a giant flying hot dog.
Well, of course.
They give them out at the Welcome Land, don't they?
They do. You can't get around Caledon without one.
So we will probably have a bit of time, just a slight bit of downtime before the next chapter comes out, because it'll come out with the next issue of the Primgraph, and I can ask Safia if she has an estimated time. I mean, I'm guessing you guys, the Primgraph will release in December.
So that's what I would think, yes.
I'll see what she says here in chat. And so that'll be the next, I'm assuming that'll be the next Golden Prim chapter that'll come out. And so probably between now and then, PJ will be scheduling shoots left and right.
Back at it, yes. I have to say, though, that the last shoot for the last up, we brought in most number of characters. It was obviously the most complicated set of shoots that we did, and everybody was just so great about having to stand around and wait and do this, that, and the other thing. And I think that just goes to show that everybody's really dedicated to the project, and you know, we really can't, I can't put the scenes together, and we can't put the story together without the creativity on the fly of all the people that participate.
Yeah, there is nothing like working with real pros, and that's a perfect illustration of it. You know, anyone who's done any type of creative performing work, whether you've done it, you know, in kind of on the stage or behind the stage, you know that so much of your time is kind of that hurry up and wait. And I saw this last year when Ulan Sputnik did the Putting on the Ritz Caledon video that was part of a benefit for Relay for Life.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, I helped out with a lot of those shoots. And it was the hurry up and wait. And it was funny because you could see the people who were completely used to it and who were the real pros. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, we were all just waiting. And then we'd do, you know, our 30 seconds of whatever for the shoot. So I'm not surprised that you guys in the cast for the quest and also who are working on it are pros, because it's such a fabulous project overall. And it's just so, such a relief. I know, because I work so much in Second Life on entertainment type things. So I applaud you all for your professionalism, because it's coming out fabulous.
Well, we have to give real props to PJ, because he is, he is doing just a phenomenal job. The strips look beautiful. The pages look beautiful. Yeah. And you know, that's all due to him and the way he envisions it. So it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay, PJ!
Agree.
And he does require two cakes per session.
The intake and the outtake.
That's right.
Well, we've got to wrap this up, because we're going to be transitioning here at the Green Fairy to a party, which is celebrating this latest issue of the Primgraph, which focuses on Winterfell. And we'll be having all sorts of fun and frolic here in the next few minutes or so. So thank you, guys. Thank you all so much for being willing to do this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome.
Pleasure.
And I'll just, you know, slip you guys maybe a flask or two in the future and strong arm you back onto the podcast when I need more people to interview.
Nice.
a few months down the line. Sure.
Virtual booze, yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yes.
Yeah. Don't you just love the gestures and the animations that have you fall on the floor? And
I have this lovely bottle of absinthe next to me, and I'm waiting for that. I thought I'd wait till I finish the interview, but then we'll dive in.
Then you'll just jump right in.
Mm-hmm. I'll start heating the sugar for you.
Oh, thank you very much. What a gentleman.
This is the way to go with the Green Fairy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I am going to sign us off. Thank you so much to our live listeners, because we are recording this live. And thank you to our podcast listeners. A huge thank you to Black Hawk and Ashling and PJ for being here. Big thank you to Elric Merlin, the audio god, for putting together those fabulous clips. And, of course, thank you to Safia Wittershins, the woman who's making everything happen behind the scenes. So I will say good afternoon until the next Quest for the Golden Prim podcast.
The Quest for the Golden Prim podcast is a joint production of Radio Reel and the Primgraph. You can learn more on the web about Radio Reel at radioreel.org and the Primgraph at primgraph.blogspot.com. Music on this program includes works from artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. The Quest for the Golden Prim podcast is licensed under Creative Commons.